You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702.
Talking Sex.
Hello, my darling.
Hi, how are you doing, sweetheart?
I'm okay. Abel, what's happening there to the zone?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. There's just some weird feedback happening here. I think technology glitches need to quarantine themselves. I'm okay. I'm good. Maelstrom of emotion. But we have to also keep on message. We've got a duty, which is partly why I'm still excited about Talking Sex segment today, to make sure that we help so far as we can in our roles in society, to help others who are listening, especially those who are at home and even more likely than normal to be tuned in to UCBS and Dr. Eve today because they're not at work, to impart the necessary information. And we are complicated beings. We are not just beings worried about our bodies physically and whether we will be infected with corona. Let's be honest, we're also sexual beings and romantic beings, and we have relationships. And a big question for many people will be whether their relationships will survive. We've seen early reports from China, for example, of spikes in divorce rates that have happened recently.
This is a very challenging time. And what I'd like us to do, with your permission, is just to get people to just breathe as they listen to us. We're going through what's called a collective trauma, which at one level is very comforting to know that we're not the only ones and therefore we cannot personalize this. So wherever you're sitting, listening to us or lying down in bed, just for a moment, just take a deep breath in, center yourselves and exhale. Just exhale yourself back into the present, quiet time to be present with us, because this is a complex conversation around how you're going to be living with the significant other in your life right now. What we're going to be doing, Eusebius, as we've discussed, is to do just some compassionate listening today. What has been shown in the work of this time of having collective trauma is that by giving cognitive information to people, by letting people know facts, it's not really that helpful, as actually for us to be here, as you've been doing from early this morning, listening to people's stories, being present with people, because that's the way that we manage our trauma and our feelings of disorientation and disequilibrium and fear and anxiety. So we really are inviting people to be sharing with us how they're feeling about being with this person, locked down with this person for 21 days. Do you imagine that it's going to lead to a better relationship, or do you think it's going to be a worse relationship? And how do we really assess what would be better and what would be worse? We have to think about, you know, what makes a healthy relationship. And we really need those tips of health right now to be able to assess and know what can we best expect from a partner now. Because the things we used to expect, we may not be able to expect those anymore. And we're going to get a little into the different kinds of personalities, or not personalities, attachment styles, as I like to call them, that we each have, that will be very important for you to know and to recognize in yourself, so that you're able to know how best to live with this person who you think you know very well, but actually may be bringing parts of themselves out that are quite strange to you, that are somehow new for you.
Yeah. I like that. And I think, to give yourself permission to go there, one of the interesting things that happen when trauma takes place is to know whether my concerns are the most important to voice right now, or whether there are bigger things that are more important in society. And it was interesting. I was reading one of the many good threads on Twitter that are emerging from doctors, citizens, tourists that are in places like Beijing and trying to give advice to residents in countries where lockdowns are only happening now, and saying, here's my experience and here are some tips on what can and can't work. And there was one guy who's actually a doctor who said, listen, I'm alone in my flat. My flatmate is right on the other side of the country. I've been alone for so many days. He has a bunch of tips. And one of the things he said in this thread was, your anxieties that you have are real to you. Allow yourself to feel them. And don't feel bad because then you think to yourself, oh, but someone else is worse off in Northern Italy. That is objectively true. But in terms of your own subjectivity, if you had a first major fight last night with your partner because you are now both at home and your normal routine have been disrupted by the lockdown, talk to us about it. Talk to us. Don't feel guilty and think to yourself, well, at least I'm not the family that had to deal with the news of a loved one in the Western Cape passing on. It's good to keep perspective, as we say, Dr. Eve, but it's also important, isn't it, for each one of us to give ourselves permission to feel the anxieties in our relationships, in our spaces that we have.
It's essential, actually. So what we need to be practicing is what I talk about all the time, called self-compassion and compassion for other. Mm. Most important to have care for yourself, which is why I've written this blog and I spent many hours on it, thinking about it and putting it together. Please, I really encourage people to go and read it. What I'm also doing, as many people are doing and should be doing, is offering civic service. So I am offering and sending emails 3 times a week to my clients and to my community, which includes our listeners on Radio 702. All you have to do is email me at dreve@dreve.co.za and you'll be receiving some of this information. So about how to manage in this time around your relationship, your intimacy, and your trauma. So taking care starts out with how do you groom yourself? You know, are you going to just be looking at each other every day and not bothering to get out of pajamas, not bothering to do your personal grooming? And I really suggest that you do that. You just continue with that. This is one of the most important things that keep coming through in all the literature, the importance of routine, of being able to maintain that routine. And I can, you know, talk from personal experience because I'm in day 8 now. You know, remember, I'm still kind of in quarantine, so I won't be seeing a person in real life until 4 weeks' time, really. So it's important to be able to still maintain personal agreement, and really important for intimacy as well, that you have self-respect and respect for other that you're living with. You know, there's different kinds of scenarios that I want to run through, a few of them that my clients are working with and that people are sharing with me. See this, unless you have calls. Because
Let's do that. I think we will give people the things that they are feeling but haven't perhaps voiced or even anticipated yet, and then we'll take calls in a couple of minutes.
Okay, so maybe you are people who do not live together. You are in significant partnership, but you're not living together, and suddenly you do decide, because you have a choice. People have a choice of either they're going to stay separate during this time or else they're going to move in together. So maybe you are significantly attached, married even, and your partner works in a different city or country, and suddenly they've chosen, you've decided that they must come back to you. You're now going to be living with somebody who you're not used to living with all the time. Perhaps also you have got a partner who you've just started a relationship with, and you two are making a decision or had made a decision. Do you stay together or do you stay apart? And you decide that you stay together. Perhaps on day 14 or day 7, you're going to find that actually we're not really that into each other, or we're finding out things about each other we couldn't possibly have known. We fast-track this and we want to have a breakup. How do you manage that kind of situation? And perhaps also you are just going to be facing your sexless marriage in a very, very real way, because you could ignore it through distractions like work and getting out and walking your dog. I mean, my goodness, people are walking their dogs. So perhaps that is your situation as well. And for many people who are having unfaithful infidelities, you may be not able to conduct that same kind of extramarital affair that you've been having all the time. And we'll talk about cyber infidelity, because that's one of the fears that I have, is that's going to increase enormously, knowing that there is an out, a way of soothing, a way of relief from the intensity of being with a partner. How do you manage that? And one of my solutions to that is, this is the time to talk about consensual non-monogamy, that you are going to be chatting with other people, but do it openly, do it in a way that's not going to be cheating, because you don't want to add that to the burden of incredible distress and unknowing that we're all living with right now, the radical uncertainty that is, you know, perpetuating and invading our very systems like this virus. So you're in different kinds of relationship structures.
Yeah.
Talk to us about the impact of that on you and the fears and anxieties that you have around that.
Okay, it's 11:30. I'm very curious to know which of those relationship structures apply to you during the lockdown. Have you decided to make sure before the lockdown happened yesterday to be in the same physical space? And how have the first day gone? And what are your concerns and your private fears about how it will play out in the days ahead? 21 days is a long time if you've been never lived together. Maybe you live apart and that's a different relationship structure, as Dr. Eve says, but you had a regular informal arrangement to see each other 2 or 3 times weekly. And then perhaps most intriguing of all, you have been, I don't know, taking Ubuntu too seriously and you're in an extramarital affair. I wonder how you are feeling now that you're being choked. You can't rush over to the person that you have been a thing with on the side. Talk to us. 011-883-0702. It's 11:30.
702.
Talking Sex.
25 minutes before noon, we are talking about relationship dynamics at this time. Perhaps you are for the first time physically deciding to live in the same space for 21 days and you have some concerns around that. Talk to us about what you're worried about, and with Dr. Eve's guidance, we'll work through some of the anxieties and the questions and the issues that come up for you. Or maybe you decided you're going to continue not seeing one another physically, as that was your normal arrangement. But what does 21 days of completely not seeing your partner actually mean if the arrangement was, I'm guessing, say, at least once or twice or 3-4 times a week, you actually do see each other at whosever's house it might be? So many different permutations in terms of relationship structures. What is yours? And have you even thought preemptively? Have you sat down with your partner and had a conversation around what does the lockdown mean for us? Maybe you normally have different routines as a married couple, work different hours. Maybe one person is always out of the house and the other one is not. And suddenly you find yourself in the same space for the first time since your honeymoon. What does that mean? 011-883-0702. Remember, you can also alternatively leave us a question or voice your concerns, your stories on 072-702-1702. Dr. Eve, why don't we go into detail with one of those relationship types right now? Let's say, for example, ordinarily, a couple or someone in a relationship don't live together, but they decided, you know what, 21 days is going to be a long time. I cannot go that long without shagging. Let's stay at my place. Or I come to your place, and for 21 days we'll test it out. And maybe they're even jovial about it initially, and they go, it will be a good test case to see whether we really should maybe even think about marriage after that. So they're trying to be positive about it. But now let's keep it real without being party poopers. What are the kinds of things you would advise them to think about in the days ahead?
Right. I really would like for every one of you to please pay attention to what I mentioned just now, which is called attachment styles. I want you to do a quick analysis for yourself on how is it that I really attach to another person? And I'm going to run through it really quickly, Eusebius, and you'll interrupt me when you want to do that. The first important thing is that we understand then how much space people need together and apart from each other. Mm. And I'm very aware of the fact that most people in our country are not privileged, as we keep hearing, to be able to take space. For those of you who do have that ability, please create either zones in your house where you can have individual space or rooms when you can have individual space, and create times when you can be together and times when you will be apart from each other. So attachment style number one is something called secure attachment. This would be a person who really feels comfortable being with you or being apart from you because they have internalized security since a child. The second type is called ambivalent or anxious attachment. These are people who really struggle for you to be away from them, even if you're in the same house as them. They need a lot more hugs. They need a lot more conversation. They really don't like conflict. They like to be able to process the conflict in the moment because that's how they feel more relaxed. If you are the third type, which is called avoidant, you're not going to want to be comfortable living in such close proximity with somebody. And for the people who are anxious or ambivalent attachers, living with an avoidant type attacher, please, please be patient with this person. They cannot tolerate too much interaction all the time. They need to have their space. This is very important if we understand that. The last kind is something called a disorganized attacher. This is somebody who really has a combination of really wanting closeness and attachment and really wanting to be alone as well. So they're a little bit disorganized and a little bit unpredictable around how they want to be attaching. They also need to have a lot of time for patience with themselves and with each other. So the most important message is to spend time knowing who your person really is, how much attachment they need in that moment, and that means having communication. So if there is a conflict or a flare-up, it's important for you to be able to say, I need some time now. I need some time out right now, and allow that person to, which means that you have to do a lot of what we call emotional self-regulation, which is why we breathe, to be able to take a breath, to be able to calm ourselves down, to engage with this person, because there's nowhere to run.
How important is it, and I suppose theoretically it's easier to answer this one than in practice, but let's do our best to get the balance right between voicing what I desire and thinking about the other person. And what I mean by that, Dr. Eve, is if I'm someone who needs constant interaction, constant chatting, constant checking in, I'm a big chatter, and you want to bury yourself in 20 copies of You magazine, our needs are different in the same space. How do we negotiate that? Because I want to respect my partner's type.
Yes.
And at the same time, surely the whole point of us being in a 15-year relationship is that presumably what I like also matters.
That's where the respect comes in, and the understanding that I am not able to provide everything for you, but I'm absolutely going to show you compassion. I recognize that you are needing more time to chat, so why don't you get onto Skype or onto Zoom, or I found a new one called House Party. I don't know if you know about that platform. I really would recommend it to people.
Yeah,
it's called House Party. It's and chat to people, because there are people who really need to be energized by engaging a lot with other people. Those are people who are going to struggle to go out, where people like me are really comfortable, because I get energy from being alone and being able to invest in self and to be present with self much more. So get onto those platforms. You cannot look to your partner for everything right now. It's going to really bring a lot of tension in. Mm. So where before you could do it, you could move out, go to a bar, go to Shabin, go to somebody's house. You can't do that now. So please get onto your platforms. That's why this has happened at a time where technology is here to serve us to be able to do that. I do want to raise another point, which is really, really important, and that is that it's very, very important right now on day one to talk about division of tasks, of household tasks. You know, regularly in a relationship, and you've heard me say this before, that one of the things that inhibit women, especially in their sexual desire, is number one, that there is no household tasks that are being done by a partner, that their personal grooming is really bad, and that they're bad lovers. Those are the three main reasons that women always give why they have a lower desire for their partner. Please get the household task division out of the way. Get management of the house organized from day one so that that doesn't become an area of conflict. And in fact, I always see crises as an opportunity of growth. You may just be creating new routines and new kind of divisions that are really going to work really well for you as you move forward. And I'll come back into the moving forward. So please do that. Also, very, very important to understand, when you have children, they usually put huge stress and inhibitors for sexual activity. Your children are going to be more needy. They're going to need more attachment. There's going to be a high level of anxiety. It is so crucial for you to regulate yourself emotionally so that your children can co-regulate with you, and therefore there will be less conflict in your family and between the two of you if your children are quiet.
Absolutely. Here's a question from Jane, and good reason why she probably doesn't want to go on air, but this is a question that will apply to many listening right now. Jane says, we live in a small studio apartment, I need my own space sometimes, physical space.
Mm.
How do I talk to him about this without him taking it personally?
It always upsets me that people haven't discussed this. This is what, you share in the beginning of a relationship. What do I need to do to feel safe and secure? What is my crazy? And for Jane, I don't want you, and I'm going to come back to what you started out with, you see, there's no shame in saying, this is who I am, this is my attachment style, I'm a little more avoidant, I need space. So even in small apartments and in small spaces, if you're living in a loft or, as you say, in a studio apartment, create a zone which is just where you are going to hang out and turn your back so that they know that I'm not dismissing you, I'm not angry with you, this is my time. And if you set it up in your structure, in your routine, this is going to be my time in my zone or right now, because we want flexibility. Right now I'm feeling I'm needing to go. Communicate that with your partner. I'm just needing to pretend that I've got this glass cage around me and I just need to be sitting in this place. It has nothing to do with you. That's how we co-regulate each other. Vital that we talk about it. Just not to make people feel that she is personally rejecting me.
Absolutely. 15 minutes before noon, beautiful conversation. Lots of things are being tested in the world right now. In a strange sociological way, it's actually kind of interesting. If just touch wood, we all come out mostly okay. The economy of the world and the systems of the world, politically and institutions, are being tested for their resilience. Our physical bodies are. And right now, relationship dynamics, psychosexually, but also the sexual part aside, are being tested enormously. And whatever happens in weeks, months from now, 2 years from now, I think there would have been, we will look back on this period, I reckon, quote me, this is my guess, as a period in human history where there was the most rapid series of changes in society that happened over the smallest period of time. Really, really, really fascinating.
702 Talking Sex.
Can I change tack and just talk to you about what's on my mind? It's not necessarily one of the big issues in the blog, although you do go there thematically, but I want to be quite blunt about it. Having sex and physical intimacy. So I think many people listening probably have gone through the following thought bubbles, but don't want to say so because you're scared that maybe you're being silly. So you think you go through one of two scenarios, Dr. Eve, if you are with your partner in the same space. You think, okay, our fate is tied up together. If COVID-19 is going to happen in this house between me and Dr. Eve, then we're either both going to be positive, both going to be negative. Don't know whether who's going to get the mild version and the extreme version. So effort, then I may as well kiss from room to room and, you know, shag the whole day long and touch each other and touch each other's faces. Because let's face it, if she's positive, I'm going to be positive and vice versa. And then the other people who reckon differently and reason differently and might think, okay, if we're in the same physical confined space, if one is positive, the other one's going to be positive. But nevertheless, I still have a sense of squeamishness about getting intimate. I don't really want to kiss her. I don't want gob to be going between us. Dr. Eve warned us last week about saliva, for example. So, yeah, sure, we're in the same bed. But I'm still going to hold on to the hope that if secretly she is positive next to me, that if I avoid touching her, at least I still reduce the odds of getting this thing.
This is such a beautiful and interesting point that you raise in Eusebius. It's, you know, just as we're learning new things around COVID-19 every single day, so we learn new things around, so I change what I'm saying about sexuality, for example. Before I go into the detail of what you said, I do want to just recognize for all of us that this is triggering off past traumas and past historical traumas for us as well. Mm-hmm. All have got our own associations around past illnesses, and past closeness, and past aloneness. So how we tolerate this is really also, it's mixed up with our past historical trauma around illness and around closeness. And all I keep coming back to is honoring each other and having compassion. We really want to do this. So let me say not the facts, because there's no evidence around this. I've come to the point of saying that the only person you should be having sex with is your regular partner. That's all that I'm advising people right now. Mm. Because whoever you're going to be touching, you're going to be infecting. Mm. And we don't know as you keep saying on the radio station, who is infected, who isn't, whether you're symptomatic or asymptomatic, we don't know. You're going to have that glitter, as you and Karima were beautifully talking about, all over you. So for goodness sake, just keep being sexual with each other, respecting the fact that the other person may have a history of illness and closeness and germ phobia. Can you hear the bird tweeting in my garden? Isn't this just beautiful?
I know. Let it continue. We love that.
respecting the person, a partner who may be germ phobic, and saying, I actually am going to sleep in a separate bedroom. Please respect that. Don't personalize it. That's where this one, I mean, there was a wonderful article in the New York Times by Betty Dodson, who's my mentor and I speak about often, and she just talks about masturbation. Just this is a time where masturbation is just top of the pops. Do that. Do that with yourself. Do that with a partner next. You've got to work out your own parameters. The only thing I'm saying is to just have sex with the same regular person and do not spread it. My understanding is that we're in quarantine specifically for 21 days or 21 days specifically because let's all get infected, let's all develop immunity to it and then be able to go out into the world again.
Absolutely. Cindy, good morning to you. Thank you so much for calling in.
Hi, Sylvia. Okay, my question for Dr. Eve is, okay, I've been with my partner for about 3 years, close to 3 years now. So we're both divorced, but my issue is that I don't feel as if he's completely ever, him and his ex have completely ever separated properly. So to the point where he still spends weekends at his former marital home for the sake of the kids, so he says. And, I mean, I've voiced many concerns over this because I'm also divorced, but, I mean, we don't do that ever again. So yesterday he told me that he's going back to his former marital home to get locked up there for 21 days. I think this is highly unacceptable. I don't know, because I'm also divorced. We also have a kid, but we're not exactly going to be shacking up for 21 days for the sake of our child.
Wow.
I'm so fascinated. Cindy, this is beautiful. Bring it on. I'm going to write a book about this because you know what? Thank you, Cindy. We're learning about how monoheteronormative relationships just don't exist. Hello. We're learning about all these wonderful, fabulously complex relationships. Cindy, do you live together with this person usually?
Sorry?
Do you live together with this partner of 3 years? Do you usually live together?
No, we see each other bi-weekly because on the cause I have shared custody of our kids. So on the weeks when I'm with my kid, then I'm with my kid. Then bi-weekly when I don't have my kid, then we'll be together. Yeah.
So you feel, I mean, help me understand. I want to have some compassion. I want to be your compassionate listener. Tell me what you are feeling. Go into the feelings around it. Mm-hmm. Not looking for a solution, but what are you feeling about this? Mm-hmm.
Right now, my feelings about it are, I think I've said everything I need to say over the topic. So right now, I'm like just annoyed, you know, because because from my side, I feel like, why can't you see that this is just totally absurd, especially if you brought someone new into your life?
Absolutely.
Okay, Cindy, that's what you're thinking, but I want to know how it makes you feel. Go into your feelings around it. Go into your feelings. I want to know how it makes you feel as you're sitting there or standing in your body. Go into your feelings. What feelings are coming up for you in your body right now?
It kind of annoys me because I feel as if I've always had to play second fiddle, as if my emotions or needs come secondary, you know, in the relationship. Yeah.
So you're feeling annoyed, and you know, Eusebius, I think this is, as you keep saying here, this is going to be a very telling time for people's relationships going forward, because there is going to be we are going forward. Cindy, this is very important for you to be able to say what would you consider to be a healthy relationship, and what are your values that you have in a relationship. You know, things like respect, loyalty,
absolutely.
And mostly, are you able to communicate what you're feeling to this man, and does he listen to you or doesn't he? And is that something you value?
I feel that that's where the annoyance comes in, because I feel that I've voiced this over and over. And yes, he says he hears and everything, but the pattern just continues. It doesn't change.
People say, I hear I can't walk my dog, but they still do. It's something that you're going to live through the 21 days. You're going to endure the difficulty. And you know what, Cindy? You're going to come to an incredible decision one way or another around self-value. Because this is a time for incredible opportunity for all of us to be really present with our own selves and to be discussing and deciding for ourselves what do we most value. And we're going to come out of this in very different ways, which I'm looking forward to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. I think so, definitely, because things can't continue as they are. It's either you're with me or you're with somebody else.
And you know what, Cindy, and Dr. Eve will rein me in if I'm overstepping the bounds here, but as your radio BFF for all of 2 minutes of chatting to you, it also sounds to me like this man is bloody trying to pit you against his children, which is a horror. No one wants to stop a dad from seeing their children or the kids having access to a father figure at this particular point. And so there must be also all sorts of weird things going inside your head where you think, these are my needs, this is our relationship, these are my values that matter to me. But to also pit me against other things that obviously I would never wish for, like the denial of a child to their parent. And to put me in that invidious position is absolutely horrid.
Exactly, because I've told them many times that it's not about you seeing your kids. In fact, I've told them that I wouldn't be with you if you were to just ditch your kids, because I'm also a parent. You know, exactly. So I wouldn't expect that of anyone. I've always told them that it's your kids first, then me. But in this situation, it always seems it's the kids first, then the ex-wife, and then, you know.
Sounds like he's weaponizing the kids to do other stuff, and who knows what's going to happen. But like Dr. Eve said, in a weird kind of way, the 21 days will give you forced physical distance and an opportunity to potentially recalibrate.
Definitely, I think so.
Thank you, Cindy, and all the best to you.
Thank you. Thanks.
Dr. Eve, this is such a beautiful conversation. I wish you had another hour. I'm going to give you a minute for a big topic that we didn't go into. I think one of the things that will happen after 21 days, and I'm not subtweeting a former minister, is many videos might emerge with words, including words such as imagine this, because people will be exchanging photos, little pictures, cyber infidelity. What is your quick advice on that? Maybe we can come back to it next week as a bigger theme. But if someone is having an affair, for example, now they're going to run to the bathroom, go be on the phone. If they're scared that Laura might be hearing what they're saying, they could simply have it on silent and do all sorts of things. But, you know, revenge porn could come back to bite you in the behind. All sorts of things can happen.
Yeah, we'll definitely let's talk about it next week. It's a big topic. Before we go, Eusebius, this really is incumbent upon me, and I know you've done this work on radio, and I bless you all the time, but I really bless you for this one. There are many women who are trapped in homes now who are in abusive relationships. There are many children who are trapped in homes with the incest perpetrators. I just want women to – I've given a lot of advice on what to do, and there is advice around, not just me. Please, there is a – for example – Lifeline offers a stop gender violence helpline. The number is 0800 150 150. The most important thing for you to do, because you cannot escape that right now, is to reach out and contact people.
Absolutely.
You're not alone. To please reach to a friend, keep chatting, get somebody to phone into you every day just to be able to talk to somebody. So you'll give the number out on my blog as well. Please know that you're not alone.
Dr. Eve, agnostic blessings back at you. We'll do it again next week.
Thank you so much. All take care. Stay home. Bye.